real quick here so we can
yeah.
get her on her way, right, Dr. Kerr?
Good morning.
How are you doing? On to your appointed rounds for today. So, Dr. Kerr, let me ask you, first question today would be for your, are you encouraged by Amador's low numbers?
I feel that we have been effective in both our containment strategy and our mitigation strategy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we haven't had as much testing as we'd like, so we really don't have any sense of low symptomatic or asymptomatic, how many of those people could have been positive because of the prioritization strategy, because of the scarcity of testing even the collection kits.
Mm-hmm.
Really, only people who actually make it into medical care are the ones who are getting tested at this point.
Right, right.
Every time we get a positive, whether it's a person who lives within the county or lives outside the county but is connected to people who've been exposed within the county, we launch a contact investigation, and we're, you know, very diligent about tracing people and putting them in isolation and quarantine, and that helps prevent the spread. But at this point, you know, I have a feeling our numbers are underreported, as many people have expressed.
Now, the person who we put on the list yesterday actually is not on the list, but they're a resident. It says here this individual was a temporary resident within Amador County with a permanent address in Los Angeles County.
Right.
Did they go back to Los Angeles County and find out they had the disease? Or are they here in Amador County with the disease?
They're actually not staying in either place at this point. It was a young adult contractor who's been up here for more than a month.
Oh, okay.
Got
okay.
sick, and family came and picked up that person. They got tested, and they're under the care of their family now in another county.
Okay.
And let me just go by, let you know why cases are reported the way they are. It's a uniform system established in California to assign all confirmed positive cases of COVID-19 to the county that is listed as the person's address on the laboratory report, regardless of where they might have been when they were exposed or got sick from the illness. And this is really to prevent the possibility of inaccurate or conflicting case counts.
Uh-huh.
That has been an issue in some other states. If you look up Texas, they've really had some problems with inconsistency in numbers. But California has established this as our way of epidemiologically tracking all reportable communicable diseases. It's a long-standing process. We do think it's very important at Public Health to keep our community informed whenever we get involved in a contact tracing investigation for a case that impacts Amador County, whether that case gets tallied as an official case to us or not.
How long does it take to track that down?
Track what down, Jim?
Do one of those contact traces. You know, let's say I come down with it today.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to go out. And how long does it take you? Do I fill out a form that said, let's see, to the best of my knowledge, I was here, there, I talked to this person. And how long does it take for you to go out and find those people? Because what I'm getting at is if they've been infected before you've talked to them or they've been contacted, could they possibly have infected more people and this can just kind of snowball?
That is exactly the point of contact tracing, yes. And so there's two aspects to the contact tracing. The first is for us to try and figure out where that person who's sick may have been exposed,
mm-hmm.
and that helps us determine whether it's a case linked to another known case or whether it's community transmission, and whether that community transmission happened here locally or elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we have to have that person try and recall everything they've been doing over the prior 2 weeks, which is considered the incubation period when they, you know, from the time they were exposed to the time they started getting sick. The second aspect is we look back for 2 days prior to their onset of symptoms and try and find out everyone they've been in close contact with. And the definition of that is either a household contact or someone who spent 10 minutes or more within 6 feet of that person, or a cumulative 30 minutes or more over the 2 days prior to their getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start tracing all those people. And we also, if there's a lag time between the day they started getting sick and the time their test results come in, We trace all the people they've been in contact with during that time. And all of those people that they've been in contact with are either put into quarantine if they don't have any symptoms. They are observed for 2 weeks in quarantine to see if they develop any symptoms, and we keep them out of circulation during that time. Or if they're already symptomatic, they're actually put into isolation, which is the term we use to separate an ill individual from other to prevent them from passing it along to others.
Because there's a couple of, I think there's three cases in Calaveras County where it sounds like it's all out of the same house.
That's a very common occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And it sounds like they may have even been isolated together and caused each other to, you know, become positive.
Yeah, it's highest risk for the direct caregiver of an ill individual. Mm-hmm. And then depending on the housing situation, yes, others in the household can be at risk. And there's a lot of, you know, careful cleaning. And, you know, the ideal situation is if the sick person can be in their own bedroom in their own bathroom. But not everyone has that luxury of having that kind of a setup in their household.
Right. I have a friend that actually lives in New York, and his 22-year-old son is home, and he has his own utensils, his own bedroom, his own bathroom, and
right.
They bring the food, leave it outside the door, he gets it.
Exactly. Yeah. We give everyone a list of what to do if they are sick or taking care of a sick family member, and that is all part of it.
Dr. Kerr, were you encouraged yesterday during the president's news conference? One of the doctors talked about sunlight possibly killing, not heat necessarily, but sunlight killing the COVID germ?
It is known that UV light is generally a pretty good disinfectant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think our challenge is that a lot of our workspaces are indoors with not a lot of sunlight coming into them.
Mm-hmm. So now that it's getting warm, we should all sunbathe then.
With care. I don't want people getting sunburned.
You don't want to see me sunbathing, Dr. Kerr. It's,
okay.
It's not a happy sight. So, now, one thing else I want to go over is gloves, because I've been seeing a lot of people wearing gloves now. And I want to talk about cross-contamination wearing the gloves. This is what I experienced the other day. I was in a drive-thru at a local restaurant. They took my money on a little tray. I put the money on the tray. The person took the money back in, grabbed the money with their gloved hand, put it into the cash register, took money out, put it back on the tray, gave it back to me, then grabbed my food bag, put that on a tray, gave me the tray, you know, handed it out to me. I grabbed the bag and, you know, went about my merry way with them without changing their gloves. Now, isn't that cross-contamination? Didn't they, when they grabbed that bag, what was the use of them putting that on the tray, giving it to me?
You make a good point, Jim. Gloves can be one of those things that give people a false sense of security.
Yeah.
And absolutely, you know, think about it just as if you were having bare hands. Everything you touch with a glove can pick up the germs, and then you pass it and leave it on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I wanted to mention that your news copy a couple weeks ago, the last time I presented to the Board of Supervisors, mentioned that I was wearing a mask and gloves, and now my hands are very pale and very chapped from washing so often, but I haven't been wearing gloves. The only time I've worn gloves outside of work, you know, direct contact with people in a patient care setting in the last few weeks is when I pump gas, and then I take them off after I, you know, hang up the gas pump,
uh-huh.
and then I hand sanitize my hands. But no, I was not wearing gloves at that meeting because of the exact issue that you just talked about.
Right. I apologize for that. That was actually covered by someone else.
Yeah, it's hard to see on the video feed. Maybe
it
looked like it.
That may be the new, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that. In fact, for a long time, there have been gloves at a number of gas stations, self-serve, where you can, you know, put a glove on your hand to pump the gas because you're afraid to get the gas on your hands. I don't see anything wrong with moving forward with that, because if you think about it, who touched that pump last?
Right. It's one of those areas that's frequently touched and not sanitized very often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Dr. Kerr, anything else you want to share with us? I appreciate you coming on with us like this.
Yes, if you have time, I would like to cover a couple other things.
Absolutely.
One of the things
absolutely.
I'd like to talk about is the newly available antibody tests
mm-hmm.
that some
mm-hmm.
of the labs are now doing. I want to let everybody know that even though they are available, there have only been a limited number of them that have received emergency use authorization from the FDA. And number one, the point of care antibody test, the one where they just prick the finger and put a little drop of blood, and then you get a result right there at the same office visit, those are only considered screening tests, and they would have to be confirmed by an actual blood draw and testing in a high complexity laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to know that our local commercial lab, Quest, that is offering these tests at this point, has a disclaimer that they have not yet been issued the emergency use authorization from the FDA. They are using a reputable company that manufactures these type of tests for other illnesses, and they've applied for the EUA, but they don't actually have it yet. So when a report comes, it will have a significant disclaimer at the bottom of the results. And it's really also important to note that we really don't know yet what the relationship between having antibodies in the blood and what kind of immunity to COVID a person has. We just don't know that yet. It's something that's being actively studied, and most of the antibody tests that are being done in this country are in the context of one of those studies at this point. I also want to just mention, I heard you talking about the Interfaith Food Bank food drive coming up next week.
Right.
That was organized by the essential workforce partners of justice and law enforcement, really to meet an essential need in the community of feeding the hungry. Public Health and Dr. Bob, as the safety officer from the Emergency Operations Center, are now advising those event organizers about all the precautions and measures to keep that food drive safe in compliance with the social distancing and the stay-at-home order. Basically, we're taking the precautions that the food bank has been using for distribution and, you know, just kind of work them in reverse for collection. I really want to remind the public who want to contribute that this is a drive-through, drop-off collection event for the non-perishable food items, and that no gathering of people will be allowed. There will be no parking, no getting out of the car at the courthouse drop-off site, and please do not gather. Maintain the 6-foot physical distancing if they're dropping off at one of the other community donation bins.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Dr. Kerr, thank you very much. So what's our report card for Amador County? You given us a good report card so far?
Which aspect of report card are you talking about, Tim?
Well, we're keeping the numbers down. We're trying to, you know, I don't see groups of people gathering. It seems everybody's, you know, doing their part.
I would like to encourage people to continue to do their part and not gather.
There you go. Dr. Kerr, you'll be speaking again before the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday. Will you be there in person or via Zoom?
I will be there in person.
Okay. Dr. Kerr, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care. All right. Dr. Rita Kerr, Amador County Health Officer, there on the phone with us this morning.